Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this week, Tim Swartz is back again as our guest co-host, and we welcome back an old friend of ours, one of the easiest persons on the planet to interview, and that's Stan Gordon. And the reason is you ask him a question, and 2 hours later, he's done with the answer. Is that correct, Stan?
Well, that's what some people tell me, but, you know, we got a lot of information. We want the people to know what's going on out there.
Well, I have a few things I want to get on with you in terms of discussions. But first, it's interesting. We talked to Stan on his landline because his internet performance where he lives is not too great. And I'm thinking, just a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed Jacques Vallée on the Paracast. And remember, Jacques is like one of the inventors of the internet, as we know. And he's using landlines. So what does that say about Skype?
I like Skype myself. You know, I don't easy for me to use.
Maybe one day we'll convince, at least for audio, Stan to use Skype or something. But right now we're not. We've got a lot of things to talk about. And let's get on with that. Because, you know, time's a wasting for us here. I'm thinking here, I don't know how Stan is, how old he is. I know that I am doing this on my 76th birthday. And I was thinking as I woke up this morning, the line in the song, and the line was actually, how terribly strange to be 70. Mm. Both you, Stan and Tim, are kind of sort of old-timers. Do you recall what song that comes from? How terribly strange to be 70.
No, I can't tell you that one.
Tim?
I'm trying to think here. Is that a Rolling Stones song? That or The Doors, possibly.
No, it is actually a song from Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh,
Old Friends. Old Friends. Okay. Old Friends.
Way off.
Lyrics. And it goes back to early days of the Rolling Stones. And the part of the song where that occurs is, can you imagine us years from today sharing a park bench quietly? How terribly strange to be 70. That's Old Friends, Paul Simon, from an album called Bookends, I believe, from Simon and Garfunkel. And that goes back to, what, 1968 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that I think about, but I'm 6 years late, you see. Another thing that occurred to me. The other day I'm reading an article where they're quoting what skeptic Robert Schaefer said about the Kecksburg UFO case, which goes back, of course, 1,000 years in terms of time. But you know what I'm talking about. We're going back a number of years for the original episode. But he's calling it a meteor. Now, whatever you think about the cause of Kecksburg, as Stan will tell us right now, something landed. Stan?
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. You know, I spent years and years investigating that case. And I started documenting that evening, December 1965, as news was breaking on the radio. And over many, many years, I tracked down hundreds of people who were involved. And many of those people from all walks of life, from men, women, children who were on the scene that night in the area where the object fell, to volunteer firemen, to law enforcement people, some who were on the scene, to numerous reporters from all the major radio, TV, and newspaper affiliates, a lot in the greater Pittsburgh area, who went out to the scene that night, and they either saw military equipment or military personnel and equipment, and some of them interacted with the military. I tracked down some military sources. I have no doubt that something, which we still do not know for certain what the source of the object was, but there is no doubt that something fell to the ground. Just to give you a little recap, because we could spend hours and hours talking about this case. In the Pittsburgh area, it's about 4:47 p.m., December 1965. Multiple reports are coming in that the news media, the police departments, the radio and TV stations, of people seeing this brilliant, fiery object moving across the sky. And it moved into Westmoreland County. People all through that area are seeing this object. And there was a lot we didn't know as the reports were breaking on the news that day. And a lot that I found out over the many weeks and months and years I did in following up on the investigation. But what we found out was that this object, as it's moving over Greensburg, it makes a turn to the south. It's observed by people in a lot of these small farming communities, Pleasant Unity, Norvell, Mammoth. It goes over Kecksburg. It continues out to the mountains of Laurelville. What we're told is it kind of hesitated, began to track back towards Kecksburg. It makes another turn and goes down into the Wooded Ravine. And I talked to local people who had seen the object when it came down. In some cases, it was right over top of some of the witnesses' heads, with a couple hundred feet maybe. What I was told was, as this thing is coming down, it did not come down at a high rate of speed. It came down almost like it was making, almost like a controlled landing. And what I found out was that some of those local residents, after seeing the object fall into the woods, they went down into the woods and found this large metallic acorn-shaped object semi-buried in the ground. So this thing, what is, was described to me, and very unfortunately, one of the key witnesses, Jim Romansky, who was standing only a few feet away from it that night as a volunteer fireman, not from Kecksburg, from another department, and I'll never forget, because I spent many, many, many interviews over many years interviewing him and his family and people who knew him. And he had been a machinist most of his life as he got older. And he always said to me, he said, I'll never forget what that thing looked like. He said, it looked like somebody took liquid metal and poured it into an acorn-shaped mold, kind of an off-gold bronze color. It was about 10 to 12 feet in length, about 8 to 10 feet in diameter. One solid piece of metal. No weld marks, no seams, no fuselage. But on the raised up part of the acorn-shaped object, which Jim always called the bumper area, he said there's these raised up markings that look more like symbols. And from his memory, he didn't remember exactly what these symbols looked like over the years, and he never thought about them much until many years later when, well, we just met by sheer luck. I can tell you that story, too. And he said, going to the library and looking up ancient writings, said what he saw looked somewhat similar to ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. And there's no doubt that something fell. And I can also tell you this. Many people observed a large military flatbed tractor trailer truck at the scene that night. And that's one of a number of details that for years I never made public until I had enough independent confirmation by other sources who could confirm that detail. So what I found out was, one, there was another military flatbed tractor trail on the scene went down earlier that night with a lower cargo, whatever was on it, with a tarpaulin over it. I found out later it went to the air base in Pittsburgh, and whatever was on that on the truck was shipped by aircraft to somewhere out in the west, I was told. I don't know where. But the object in question, that the main object that was on the ground, went out on a flatbed tractor trailer approximately around 1 o'clock in the morning. And later, over the years, I got independent confirmation, including from more than one military source, that the object was taken to Lockbourne Air Force Base near Columbus, Ohio, during the early morning hours of December 10th. The flatbed tractor trailer and the object were backed into a hangar. They set up a security perimeter around the hangar, and the security team, and I interviewed one of the fellows who was on the security team, said they were given a shoot-to-kill order to anybody approach that hangar without the proper clearance. I was also told it only stayed there for a short stayover. It continued on to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And after that happened, years later after that happened, I found out that, indeed, that's where it went to, and I was told what building it went to, and it was not Hangar 18 that a lot of people talk about. It was another facility on the base.
We have Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Freudian investigator talking about the Texburg case from the mid-1960s. More to come with Gene and Stan and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Tim Schwartz again is our guest co-host. Stan Gordon joins us. And let's clarify this, because you did point out that the object slowed before it came to the ground. And that is, some people say satellite, but the fact that the motion slowed would seem to put the line to that, Stan Gordon, right?
There have been multitudes. news of theories over the years as to what this object was. And by the way, as this object's on the ground, nobody reported any parachutes at the site. That's an important detail as well. We've looked into many, many different theories over the years, and I think when the 50th anniversary came about a few years ago, I think it was four more people came forth with theories. They were all different. Everybody believed that their theory was the right one, but they're all different. And I can just tell you, there's a little more to the story than has been out there. There's certain details, again, that I'm still hoping and trying to get a confirmation on, again, by independent sources, which is something I'm very careful with doing. I don't like to bring details out until I can confirm certain things. But there's more to the story than meets the eye. And again, I keep an open mind to all possibilities. You know, I've never come out and said, oh, this thing is definitely an extraterrestrial spacecraft. I've only said it's a possibility that has to be considered. I keep an open mind to all possibilities. You know, years and years ago, I said, could we be dealing with something that's very, very advanced, very secretive, man-made? And again, I keep an open mind. But, you know, so many of the programs, the Soviet programs, the U.S. programs during that time period have been declassified now. And I talked to various people who worked in the space program over the years, and we talked about the case, and they saw what details I had, and they all kind of scratched their head. Someone indicated that they didn't think we had any type of technology back in 1965 that could do what this thing supposedly did and what people saw on the ground. So it's still a case that's very, very interesting. I would like to have closure on it while I'm still alive, but I don't think that's going to happen. And with so many witnesses like Jim Romanski, who was hopeful that the government would someday come out and release information on the case, because a lot of these people took a lot of ridicule over the years, but they stay with their story. They knew what they saw, and a lot of these people went to the grave never knowing the truth. Hopefully someday, regardless of what the origin of the object was, it's an interesting story. It's an interesting case. But once again, you know, I keep an open mind to all possibilities, and I go where the evidence leads.
Okay, this leads us, of course, to the ultimate question. If something extraterrestrial landed at Keksberg, unless it was severely damaged, one would think it could have taken off again, right?
Well, it was semi-buried in the ground. There was dirt and debris around it. There was evidence that they had knocked some trees down, topped the trees off. Again, we don't know what we're dealing with. But the whole point was this. First, you had the civilians came in. Then you had volunteer firemen being called out, because a lot of these people weren't calling in to report. They saw something on the ground at the time. So the firemen are coming out looking for a possible downed aircraft in this large wooded area. But soon after, the military arrives on the scene. That's what made this such an interesting case. It is very well documented. You had so many eyewitnesses, including the reporters who were there, who confirmed the military presence. So what is military equipment or personnel doing in the small farming community during the evening? On private property, by the way. So you have all this activity going on, but the military, from all indication, once they arrived on the scene, they took control of the situation. Everybody was out of the area, and the military took control. From what we know, they loaded the object up on the flatbed tractor trailer, and they got out there early in the morning, and it was shipped off to Lockbourne Air Force Base. They ended up at Wright-Patterson.
Is that where we think it is today, you'd think? Okay, you'd think it's been there for, what, 50, 60 years, 55 years. 55 years, 56 years ago, this thing is retrieved and taken supposedly to Wright-Patterson. 56 years. One would think at this point in time, the authorities would have some idea about it. If it is something that isn't ours, they'd know that. Yet at the same time, we have a Pentagon UAP task force that treats the subject as if it just started in 2004. How do you react to that, Stan?
Well, you know, again, the Keksberg case is very interesting, but to be honestly, I have investigated multitudes of other UFO incidents that are much more unusual and in some ways much, much stranger, which I think tonight might be a good night to talk about many of these cases, some of these cases, because these are cases most people have never heard of before. You know, I've been out in the field investigating since 1965. This is 62 years of research for me. I have never seen a UFO or a Bigfoot. But as you recall from previous programs, you know, I set up my hotline in 1969 for the public to report UFO sightings. But as word got out, people were calling me about anything unusual, from so-called haunted houses to flying saucers to strange creatures and Bigfoot. And it got to the point very quickly that I couldn't deal with this on my own, so I decided that I was going to set up a research group to investigate these reports. So in 1970, I founded the first of three such groups that for years we investigated cases across the state of Pennsylvania. And the first group was called the West Warren County UFO Study Group, and it started out in the greater Pittsburgh area. And the group was somewhat unique in that the majority of people involved, the men and women involved, were specialists. We had scientists, engineers, technicians, and a lot of these people worked for major companies back then, like Gulf, Westinghouse, Alcoa. Some were connected to colleges and universities. There were police officers. There were former military intelligence people. I mean, there were all kinds of specialists that donated their time. We were all volunteer. We all had full-time jobs. And we did what we could. But I had it set up that we could respond to cases 24 hours a day.
And by okay, you know, we've covered a lot of this, Stan. We've covered a lot of this in previous episodes. And I want to kind of talk about stuff we haven't really covered before or more recent things. So, for example, Kecksburg, you say there are other cases that are, as they say, more amazing than that one. That one is something strange is found, recovered by the military, and taken away. Okay, that's pretty amazing right there. You know, in a sense, it's almost like Roswell. You recover something that's strange, and you take it away. Are there other UFO landings, crashes that you have investigated that you can tell us about?
I cannot. Landings are very rare. But there have been many other cases over the years of very low-level, close-range UFO sightings. And many of these, again, are cases you've not heard of before. And I've got a lot of them here, and I'd be glad to tell you about some of them. They go back to the 60s.
Yes, I'd like to do that as we progress with the show. Let's focus on stuff that we haven't heard before, that you haven't talked much about before, and then maybe more recent stuff to get a picture of where we are. We have Stan Gordon, who has been answering the phone since the late 60s. People have strange things happening in Pennsylvania. He's the go-to guy, okay? Our guest co-host this week is Tim Swartz. Many of our listeners know that Tim, for a number of years, worked with another Tim, the late Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO. And Tim will be working with us as guest co-host from time to time. And we're also joined over the forthcoming period by Kurt Collins on some episodes, our staff announcer Bob Zanotti on others. Fascinating stuff with Gene and Stan and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The family of the 10 innocent Afghan citizens killed in a mistaken U.S. drone strike in August now are demanding that those responsible be punished and that Washington's apologies so far simply are not enough. A spokesman for the family also telling the Associated Press they expect financial compensation. On Friday, the CENTCOM commander, General Keith McKenzie, took responsibility for the strike that he said was supposed to be targeting a vehicle containing ISIS suicide bombers.
This strike was taken in the earnest belief that it would prevent an imminent threat to our forces, but it was a mistake.
And the general there at that Friday briefing taking responsibility for what happened. The CDC says that extremely infectious Delta variant of COVID-19 now represents more than 99% of all the cases of COVID being tracked in the nation. And this is a lawyer for the family of a still-missing 22-year-old Florida woman says the fact that her fiancé, who's been a person of interest in her disappearance, is now missing doesn't mean anything's happened to him, but he's probably in hiding. Northport, Florida police spent most of Saturday actively searching for Brian Laundrie. His family says they haven't heard from him since Tuesday. America makes space history again as the first ever all-civilian crew is back safely from orbit. That was the sound as the SpaceX capsule splashed down off the coast of Florida Saturday night. NASA officials say the Crew Dragon, the vehicle used for the trip, is likely the safest crewed vehicle ever flown into space. The CDC now saying that the very infectious Delta variant of COVID-19 in the U.S. represents more than 99% of the cases tracked in the country lately. And this is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim is the man of a thousand voices. He will never replace Mel Blanc.
Don't want to.
No, well, nobody, Mel Blanc's dead. You don't want to replace Mel Blanc. He's dead. So that wouldn't be a nice thing. Unless, of course, we can bring Mel Blanc back. Just think about this. We get a medium in here. And I ask the medium, call up Mel Blanc. I have to see what voice he returns in. Will it be Bugs Bunny? Barney Rubble? Porky Pig? Who knows? Stan Gordon, I wanted you to focus here on cases we haven't heard about. Give us something, you know, like a, if not a landing, a low-level case with intricate detail. That still mystifies us. Stan, go for it.
Okay, well, there are so many, but here's one that I always thought was quite interesting. This happened back in February of 68. So back in the 60s, especially late 60s, there were many reports coming in of large, solid, appear to be metallic, kind of battleship grade. Some people described the surfaces of these large, solid objects that were so low in many cases, people were reporting like portals or windows in them, and sometimes seeing like computers or lights behind them. And that was something that was not that unusual back in those days. There were a lot of reports. But one of the reports that many people never heard about happened in February 68. And these were two young brothers. This was here in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. There were two young brothers involved. The youngest brother was a big believer in UFOs. The older brother was complete non-believer. I mean, these two guys would get into such arguments, they'd have fist fights over UFOs. So the older brother goes into the Navy. He got a high-level security clearance, worked on one of the most advanced aircraft carriers at the time, so he knew about all the different type of aircraft that our government had at the time. So he gets out of the Navy in February 68, and he gets married, and he and his wife, they rent a little farmhouse out in the country. That afternoon, he happened to look out the window. It was supposed to start snowing. He went to check the weather conditions, and suddenly he realizes this is odd looking. There's something about 20 feet from his window, like a long gray metallic rod. And he takes a better look, and this long metallic rod, which is actually one of three, is attached to this very large oval-shaped object with a dome on top. He said this thing is about 50 to 60 feet in diameter, and the bottom appeared to be hollow, and the object was about 50 feet away from him and hovering about 50 feet over a fishing pond. And the man told his wife about what was going on, so she came out and was just pretty much shocked looking at this thing. This thing had windows or portals in it, in the dome, in the lower section of the object. It looked like instrument panels. At times you could see like flashes of different colored lights through the portals. The hollowed out bottom looked to be about 20 feet in diameter, and there were numerous lights spinning within it. So the man calls his brother. Oh, there was more of the story. So while him and his wife are there, there's something like a catwalk in the center of the object. This small little humanoid creature, about three and a half feet tall, comes out, and another one comes out, and it looks like they're communicating with each other. And at one point, they look directly at him. And he calls his wife, and she comes out and sees this thing as well. So they call his brother, who lived in Greensburg, which is probably 10 miles away from there, I'm estimating. And it was starting to snow pretty good, but his brother and his wife come out, and the object is still there. It's about 100 feet off the ground now, and they're right underneath it. And suddenly this thing just shoots straight up into the sky and looks like a bright star going across the heavens, and it's gone. And they called the local airport, the Latrobe Airport at the time, and they said they were receiving many similar reports from other people. And that fellow who went into the Navy, who never believed these types of things, he said, if I hadn't seen it for myself, I could not have been convinced. That's just one of many, many cases of large low-level objects I've looked into over the years.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting. It doesn't seem like that we get a lot of these like structured craft reports anymore. You know, it seems like everything's like balls of light, plasma types of objects. I mean, you know, are you seeing a similar pattern taking place there in Pennsylvania?
You don't get as many of these low level reports, but we do still receive them. And, again, there's many from that time period and since then we can talk about. But in more recent years, for example, let me give you a few other incidents that I think were just amazing. And this is another type of case that's really important. This is September 3rd, 1987. And this is on busy Route 30. So you've got a four-lane major highway. It's about 8:30 in the evening. Numerous witnesses, including some law enforcement personnel. Now, this is where the old Green Gate Mall was at the time. And behind the Green Gate Mall back then, you had an annex where you had a number of movie theaters. So anyhow, there's witnesses down there and around other areas as well. And they see this huge object towards the west, and it's approaching that area. And this thing goes across the high-tension power lines, only about 300 feet up. But this object that they're watching, the first impression was by people was it was a huge blimp. They soon realized this thing was immense. It was a large cigar-shaped object, about 300 feet in length. They said it was about twice the length. They said would surmise it maybe like two Goodyear blimps. And it was a silver or a dull gray surface, moving about 50 to 60 miles an hour. There was no sound. And it had numerous brilliant blinking lights that were white in color, but on each end they had a bright red flashing light. And this huge object is moving along the high-tension power lines, goes across Route 30. There's a power substation there. This huge object turns vertical in the sky, and when it does, all the power in the area goes out. And later when the power company went back behind that annex where the mall was, where there was an extensive power failure, they found that all three of the master fuses located in the feed line have been blown. Apparently it's something that just doesn't happen, rarely ever happens. So it was a lot of interesting reports. And one thing that I found as a pattern back in the 60s, I began to notice these kind of reports, that there was an interest in our power grids. There were sightings commonly over some of the power stations and over the high power tension lines in many, many areas. Back in, so my memory is 1967, I believe, they were building the Homer City Power Station, Indiana County. And while it was under construction, there was a major wave of UFO sightings that went on for weeks and weeks of objects coming down and attaching to the power lines, low-level reports, I believe it was one report of a possible landing on the roadway they were working on. And one of the professors at Indiana University had a UFO club that they went out and investigated the report. And that was making a lot of local newspaper news at the time. So this has been going on for years and years. But another pattern, and I don't remember if we talked about this before or not, because this gets deeper and deeper into a lot of the very strange things I've been finding out about Bigfoot and cryptids and other phenomena, which is going on more and more now, not only in Pennsylvania, around the country. But one of the pattern I found years ago was that many low-level, close-range UFO sightings and many encounters with Bigfoot and other cryptids commonly occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. So you've got many sightings around high-tension power lines, and power plants and gas wells, gas lines, radio communication towers, railroad tracks, areas of bodies of water. So you have a definite energy connection there. And so these cases go on and on and on. And another one, another case is really fascinating, again, that so many people never heard about. This occurred, I believe, June 1st, 2013. And again, this was another section of Route 30 down in North Huntington Township. So this is around Irwin, North Huntington, outside of Jeanette, and the area that's had a long history, again, of a lot of sighting reports of UFOs and cryptids. But this witness, who I interviewed many times, it was a woman and a three-year-old child. She was coming out of a convenience store, heading eastbound on Route 30, and she's on her cell phone. And she had to stop and brake right in the middle of Route 30. And I know she told me later on, she said, I couldn't believe it. I'm by myself. There's no cars near me. They're all way ahead of me or way behind me. And she said, I had to stop and brake because here's this huge object hovering very low, taking up all four lanes of the highway.
We got more to come with Stan Gordon and Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. It means you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we see, when Stan talks about a case or a situation, he will give you intricate detail. Stan, just continue where you left off.
Okay, so the young child yells, "Look, Mommy, a flying iPad in the sky," and this object, when she, at the distance she was about 150 feet away initially from the object it was hovering. And it was completely silent. It was about 60 feet above the highway, taking up all four lanes. And she said it looked mostly rectangular and said it looked like the gondola of a blimp, but without the blimp. And she said the length of this thing appeared to extend over the east and westbound lanes of the highway. It was about 55 feet in length and about 35 to 40 feet high. She said it was two-tiered. The top section was made up of, there were five sets of green lights. There were individual rectangular lights in each set, and the five sets of lights were all evenly spaced in a vertical position. The lights were all steady with no blinking. The green was brighter than the green of a traffic light. The bottom section, which was smaller in size, contained within it two solid red lights that were placed side by side. They were steady and never blinked, and they gave the witness the impression they looked like brake lights, but they were huge. The woman's on the phone talking at the time. She had to pass underneath the object to get home. So when she passes underneath the object, she notices that the digital display on her car dashboard for the clock, I believe it was the temperature, the airbag status goes out. The Bluetooth sync connection goes out. The radio goes off the air she's listening to. She tries to take a picture with her iPhone. The camera function would not work, would not let her go into the photo mode, which is something that's been going on more and more, by the way, in recent years with other cases. So she accelerates down the road. I think she says she got about a half a mile away, and at that point, everything went back to normal, was working again. Those are the kind of cases that are very, very important. You don't hear about it, but we have a very interesting case where there's various type of electromagnetic effects. And here's one that's even more recent. And this is along the Chestnut Ridge, and I'm sure we probably have talked about the ridge over the years. It's probably one of the most interesting, strange places in the country. But the Chestnut Ridge is not just one small area. This mountain range runs about 100 miles long. So you have Westmoreland, where I'm at, Fayette, Indiana County in southwest Pennsylvania, extends down into West Virginia to Preston County outside of Morgantown, West Virginia. Year after year, we have UFO sightings, Bigfoot encounters, cryptid reports, mystery booms, underground sounds, all kind of weird phenomena goes on year after year along the ridge, especially in Westmoreland, Fayette County. There's a lot of activity around that area, around Latrobe, Derry, Youngstown, all those areas along the ridge are historically very active with reports. So here was an event that happened June 4th, 2019, a little more recent. And there were two people traveling along the Youngstown side of the ridge that evening. The sky was clear, was good visibility. And the passenger yelled out, "What are those lights in the sky?" And the driver was watching a row, so he pulled over. The passenger, the woman, said what she saw appeared to be like a glass tube cylinder among bright lights that seemed to be covered in a smoke or haze. And the cylinder appeared to be attached to a large V-shaped object with several rows of different colored lights. And so the driver, he pulls over and he stops the vehicle and says he's just amazed when I interviewed him, seeing this object hovering about 60 feet over the trees, kind of a V-shaped object, and he said it appeared to be made up of numerous small rectangular-shaped white lights. Those lights were glowing, but would brighten at dim at times, and he said he estimated about 50 of those lights. He said this object, I think it was about 40, 50 feet long. Above the smaller lights, though, there were four larger lights that were strobing orange, blue, red, and green. The brightness of those colors seemed pale compared to the smaller rectangular white lights of the object. Those lights, however, seemed to strobe from left to right, and then there was a larger light that produced a beam that was scanning the sky above the object. So the driver lowers the window to watch this object, and they're amazed that this large object is completely silent. They hear no sound whatsoever. But the witness, they continue to watch, and they're getting pretty shook up and pretty upset over the whole thing. And the driver said it was as though the electronic system of the car was having a seizure. The radio was off at the time. However, they began to hear this odd clicking sound inside the vehicle, but they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And at the same time, it was noticed that the dash lights were dimming on and off to the beat of the clicking sound. He also stated that he was having trouble with his cell phone getting signal at the time. The witnesses watched it for about 3 minutes, became very disturbed. Later, he said to me, he said, you know, we were so shook up and so amazed what we were seeing, we didn't even think about trying to take a picture. But he said the object was still hovering as they began to drive down the road about 30 miles per hour. But then something else strange began to happen. About 30 seconds after they left the location, animals began running out of the woods as though they were frightened. A deer came out, and this guy's an experienced hunter. He said he never saw animals so shook up or frightened as though something really was dazing them, confusing them. Then another deer came out. Then a bird hit the car windshield. Other animals came out. And he said that he'd never forget that night. He was so startled about what he saw and what happened. So here you have electromagnetic effects on animal reactions to a case.
You know, the entire phenomenon fascinates me. But one of the things that always fascinates me about some of these cases is how brightly lit and very apparent these things are. Every one of these cases that you described, I mean, they're covered with lights, you know, flashing, strobing. I mean, they might as well just have the word UFO written on them. It's almost like they're trying to draw attention to themselves.
And in some cases, they're very bright. In some reports, even the last few years, we're getting more and more reports, in fact, right through the last week, of these very large cigar-shaped objects, even in daylight, that are seen. And sometimes we're getting reports of these things that they seem to be almost luminous and glowing. So that's interesting as well. But in some cases, they're not like that. And here's another really interesting case, because in this case, the witness was so close to the object, he could have reached up and touched it. And this was another fascinating case from 1985 near Indian Head. So this is up in Fayette County. This fellow was coming home from work around 12:30 in the morning. He sees over the trees, he sees these six lights. And then he realized that these lights are connected to this object that his first thought was it was a long blimp. But he realizes this blimp has no gondola on it. And it's silver metallic looking, looked like to be about 100 feet in length, and it's coming down very low as though it was in kind of trouble or something, and it's coming across the road to this field. And it looks like it's hovering right over this field. So this young guy gets out of his vehicle and runs across the road thinking this thing's in trouble. He's literally standing underneath it. He said, I could have reached up and touched it. And he said, I'm looking up at this thing. I'm looking for USA. I'm looking for Goodyear. There's no markings on him. There's absolutely no sound. It's moving so slow. He said, all I could hear was the size of this thing just moving, rushing through the air as it's moving. And he said, as it's hovering there and he hears this whooshing sound, he said the bottom of the object is hollow. And again, and some of these reports where these people were so close, they described the bottom section of the object as looking hollow at the bottom. And he said there were six bright lights at the top of the object that were flashing bright and high-intensity blue. The light spun in a counterclockwise pattern, illuminated the trees and the ground. The object moved and hovered very low over the field. And again, he was looking for any kind of thing. He yelled out to this thing, yelled out for anybody. There was no response. And there was a house close to the road. He ran there, was knocking on the door to see if these people had a camera. And they, of course, thought he was crazy and didn't respond. So he got into his car, ran down the road, brought some people back a few minutes later, and it was gone.
You say the bottom looks hollow. Do you mean open?
Yes, it was okay. Open.
Okay, so what do they see? What do they see? Just a dark interior?
No, he said that in this case that the bottom was hollow, but there were bright blue lights that were emitted from the bottom section, and then there were other bright lights at the top of the object that were illuminating the surrounding area.
Wow. I just wonder what I think if I saw one of those things coming down the road. Of course, Tim, ask the question and I'll break. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, that guy had a lot of guts getting underneath it like that.
Well, you know, his first impression was he thought it was a blimp in trouble. So that's what his first thought was. It's a blimp in trouble. It's so low to the ground, something's wrong. That's why he's running over and yelling up at it to see if anybody would respond. But then he's realizing there's no mark. There's no gondola. There's no markings. There's no USA. There's no Goodyear. And he realizes this was much stranger. So he goes down the road and brings people back, and it's gone. He calls the state police. They had him contact me. What nobody knew was that there were other reports for hours coming in across the state of something very similar that I was receiving.
We got more to come with Stan Gordon and Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.